Yo, big up to everyone. Welcome back to Sarcasm City TV Twitch. We are back for another UFC weekend. Obviously, we did the first in a while, actually, the first watch along preview and review on the channel for UFC 299. It was Sean O'Malley versus Chito Vera. Obviously, Sean O'Malley taking the win through decision, five rounds. This time around, we have UFC 300, the big matchup, the big event, number 300 for UFC, right? And they've gone with a pretty entertaining card, I'm not going to lie. Very stacked, lots of fights to look out for. They've got prelims, early prelims, the main card itself, a lot of fighters on the card, lots of fights just in general. And we're going to get, pretty much we're going to go through all of them. We're also going to, I'm going to be giving my prediction on all these fights as well. And then if you guys don't already know, later on today, we will be doing the watch along itself for the main card as well. It's at 7 p.m. local time for me, so 7 p.m. PST. And I think it should be 3 a.m. UK time. So everybody who's in the UK, depending on where you're tuning from, it's at 7 p.m. local time, so 7 p.m. Pacific time for everybody on the West Coast. And then 3 a.m. UK time for everybody out there. So yeah, like I said, absolutely stacked card, and I'm going to share my screen real quick and we're going to go through the card as well. Let's do that. Cool. So I got it all set up. So we're going to start from the early prelims. We've got Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt. I don't know if you guys know, Cody Garbrandt is actually where I'm from Sacramento itself. So shout out to Cody Garbrandt. Bobby Green versus Jim Miller. Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez. Jalen Turner versus Renato Moicano from Brazil. Then we've got the normal prelims. Sadiq Youssef versus Diego Lopez. Holly Holm. You guys all probably remember Holly Holm. She beat Ronda Rousey for that title fight, famous fight, versus Kayla Harrison. Calvin Cutter versus Aljamain Sterling. Back in action. Featherweight bout right here. Obviously, he lost the title to Sugar Sean O'Malley a couple of events ago. And then we got Prochazka versus Alexander Rakic. This one's going to be a very good fight. Rank number two versus rank number five. Then we go to the main card. So we've got the first fight, Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage, Charles Oliveira versus Armon, Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway for, I think it is the BMF title. So it's the baddest motherfucker title, basically. Zhang, the women's strawweight champion versus Yan. And then we got the main event, Alex Pereira versus Jamal Hill. So pretty stacked card. Like I said, lots of names, lots of specific fighters are there today. And we're going to start off basically going fight by fight. So we'll do the first one. Big up to Surfer, by the way. I'm pretty sure this is Surfer, but big up to you. Sorry, I did miss your comment. Big up to you. And big up to everyone who's tuned in. Definitely follow the page if you haven't already, Sarcasm City TV. Also check out everything else too. The YouTube channel, of course. Watch alongs on there, you know, certain shows, United Chelsea show, I think the Yardman shows later today as well. So check that out. Then we've also got the Sarcasm City TV playback where we do a lot of the NBA content. We used to actually do it here on the Twitch. Flawless used to do it here on the Twitch, but we moved it onto that platform. So check that out as well. Lots of content today, lots of content tomorrow, lots of content every day here at Sarcasm City. So you guys already know. But yeah, we're going to get into the fights. So the first one, we have a bantamweight bout, and I'm going to click on it here as well because we're going to look at pretty much all the stats. So we got Figueiredo from Brazil, Cody Garbrandt, like I said, from Sacramento. He's from the United States. The record is more in favor for Figueiredo. So he's had a total of 26 fights, 22 wins, 3 losses, and 1 no contest. Cody Garbrandt's had 14 wins, 5 losses. Last fight was a win for both of them. In terms of the height, they're both around 5'5". Cody Garbrandt has 3 more inches on Figueiredo by 5'8". Weight is pretty much almost the same, just short by 0.30 pounds. Reach is 68 inches reach for Figueiredo, so a 3-inch longer reach for him. This fight, they both are, to be honest, more of strikers rather than grapplers, to be honest. You can see Cody Garbrandt, 79%. Knockout percentage for him. Submission, Figueiredo has had a couple. Knockdown average is 0.91 per 15 minutes. He's got 1.21. So definitely strikers. They definitely do get knockdowns and stuff like that. You can see a little bit of a grappling game from Figueiredo, but you mostly see more of his standing fight. Significant strikes that land around 3 per minute. 55% for Figueiredo, 40% for Cody Garbrandt. So this fight's definitely going to be something that's going to be more like, you know, a stand-up, more not rather than on the ground type of fight. Big up to H. Hope you're doing well, G. Big up to you every single time. So we're going to go for our prediction, basically, for this fight. And I'm going to go for a Figueiredo knockout. I think it's going to be a knockout for him. It's going to be a 3-round fight because it's a prelims. So we're going to go for a knockout in the second round. So Figueiredo knockout second round. That's basically what we're going to go with. Cool. Then we go to the next one. Bobby Green versus Jim Miller in the lightweight division. Going through their records, they both have had a good number of fights. So we see right here that's 47 fights for Bobby Green. Bobby Green's obviously been in and around the UFC for a minute, mixed martial arts just in general. Aid says, where's the fraud? He's not here today. He's actually with his babes, like genuinely. So you guys can say all these jokes about me, but hey, man, Spoo's with his babes, you know? So yeah, going back to the card, Bobby Green's got 31 wins, 15 losses, one no contest, one draw. And Jim Miller's got 37 wins and 17 losses. Both hail from the United States. If we go to the height and weight, weight's almost pretty much the same. Height is Bobby Green is taller by 2 inches. Reach advantage, there's nobody who really has a reach advantage. They're both the same, 71 inches. He's going to be on watch along, or are you doing prelims or just main? Yeah, he's going to be on the watch along. Watch along's later today at 3 a.m. And you going prelims or just main? We're doing just main. We're not going to go prelims, to be honest. We're going to do just the main, yeah. I have some stuff to do around that time. And the card's long anyways. Like, the main card's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 5 fights. But, yeah, we'll do the main card. Starts at 7 p.m. local time, 3 a.m. UK time. We'll be there. And we'll pattern up the Discord as well. So we'll drop it in the chat and everybody else could use it as well. So we got all that set up. I'm pretty sure Spoobs has all that set up, but cool. Going back to the fight, Bobby Green versus Jim Miller. This another one where it's kind of like a mix. So Jim Miller is more of a grappler rather than Bobby Green. Bobby Green does sometimes go for the submissions as well. He's got a 29% submission stat. He's got Jim Miller's got 54% knockout and TKO, not so much for either. Decision also is around 35% for Bobby Green, 27% for Jim Miller. Average fight time around 11 minutes. Knockdown average for 15 minutes is pretty low for both of them. So they're both kind of more of grappling. Let's see. So takedown average for 15 minutes. Yeah. So almost 2 for Jim Miller, 1.2 for as an average for Bobby Green. So they're both definitely more grapplers rather than strikers. 6.4 landed per minute. Jim Miller, yeah, he's not the best of strikers at all. Absorbed as well, around 3. Defense, more for Bobby Green's side. So this one is kind of more going into in favor of the grappling side of the game. But you might see a little bit of strikes here and there from both of them. Not so much from Jim Miller, more probably from Bobby Green. With that being said, odds are in advantage of Bobby Green. So Bobby Green is the favorite to win this fight. Jim Miller is the underdog. So with that being said, I will probably go with Bobby Green. Odds to win by submission is, plus 1,800 for Bobby Green. So they don't think he's going to win by submission. It's going to go more so on decision. Cool. So there's not technically money line is favored to Bobby Green, but everything else is you could win money if you could do gamble responsibly on either sides. KO. Submission, decision, both ways works. That's pretty decent. But with that being said, my prediction on this fight, I'm gonna go for Bobby Green. I'm gonna go for Bobby Green by decision, actually. 3 rounds. So Bobby Green by decision for this one. We go to the next fight, Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez. I'm not gonna lie, folks. I don't really watch the women's strawweight bout too much, so I don't know too much about this, but I'm going to go purely just based off of their stats right here. Let's see. Last fights were wins for both of them. Reach advantage to Marina Rodriguez around 3 inches. Win by knockout 40%. So 40% out of her 25, so majorly knockouts. Oh, strikes landed per minute for at least 6. Crazy. So they're both definitely strikers rather than grapplers. She has no grappling game. Takedown average for 15 minutes is 0.25. Accuracy is not bad. Takedown defense is pretty good from both. And then we'll go through the odds. So Jessica Andrade is favorite, I'm guessing, on money line to win the fight. Cool. So they're pretty much giving Jessica Andrade the favoritism towards this fight. So we'll go with her then. Or maybe we'll set up for an upset. Yeah, you know what? We're going to set up for an upset. So we're going to go for Marina Rodriguez to win by decision. Yeah, we're going to do decision. That's what we're going to go with, Marina Rodriguez. Like I said, I don't know too much about this fight. Don't really watch the women's strawweight division too much like that. I apologize for no real prediction on that one. Then we've got Jalen Turner versus Renato Moicano, lightweight division. This is lower in the ranks, of course, in the lightweight division. Same thing for this one. Last fights didn't really have a last fight in the UFC, I guess, because they don't show it. Height advantage is massive for Jalen Turner. He's 6'3" versus a 5'11". That's why he also has a 5-inch reach advantage. So he's going to definitely look to try to keep the distance with him, so he can get more shots through. In terms of record, 21 fights for him, 14 wins, 7 losses. And then 24 fights for Renato, 18 wins, 5 losses, and 1 draw, hailing from the United States and Brazil, respectively. This one's a little tricky one, too. I don't really know too much about these fighters as well. I think this is their first fight in the UFC. But going, again, based off of stats, he has a 71% knockout percentage. So he's definitely more of a grappler. He's also finished fights quick, I'm guessing. Landed per minute 6, only 4 for Renato. Significant strikes is also more by a percent. Defense is more for Renato, though. 60% defense for Renato. So that's pretty interesting. We'll look at the odds on who they think is going to win the fight, too. So he's definitely the favorite. Yeah, he's favorite to wins by a knockout as well. Crazy. So 1,400 for Renato to win by knockout. So definitely not too much of a grappler. They don't really think he's going to win by knockout. With that being said, I'm going to go for the favorite tie. Jalen Turner, for sure, just looking at his record. Also looking at his percentages. Yeah, he definitely looks like he's a more lethal striker out of both of them. And he's probably going to do, he's going to have a tough time trying to keep up with that reach, because that reach is a lot. 5 inches is a lot. All he got to do is keep the distance. Once he keeps the distance, he's able to land easy, and that height advantage as well. So we're going with Jalen Turner for this one. Jalen Turner to win by knockouts. I say second round as well. Jalen Turner to win by knockouts. Cool. After the early prelims are done, we then now move on to the regular prelims. Some good fights in the prelims as well. Some big names like Prochaska, Aljamain Sterling, some big names right here. So the first one we're going off with, Sadiq Youssef versus Diego Lopez. Sadiq Youssef lost his last fight. Diego Lopez winning his last fight, hailing from Nigeria versus Brazil, respectively. 2-inch advantage, height advantage for Diego Lopez over Youssef. 71-inch reach for Youssef and 72.5 reach advantage for Diego Lopez. Win by, let's see, more strikers as well. 50% decision. So out of his 13 wins, he's won 15% decision, 50% knockout. Average fight time, he normally lasts a lot longer. Diego Lopez has been, I'm guessing, knocked out before. Strikes landed per minute way more for Sadiq Youssef. Significant strikes are more for Diego Lopez, so averaging more on that. Defense also is a lot better for Youssef. Grappling takedown average, Diego Lopez 0. So he actually has 0 takedown accuracy, 0 takedowns just in general. Youssef does have a little bit to his grappling game. 20% takedown accuracy, not really a lot. Takedown defense is a lot better, though. Even his takedown averages per 15 minutes is not good at all. So again, another fight that's probably going to be stand up, more of, you know, striking and stuff like that rather than submission, but you never know. Because what I would be thinking for Youssef in this sense is that I know this guy can't grapple. So if I'm just trying to win the 3 rounds and get my points, keep him on the ground. That's one thing you could do. His takedown defense is also not as good as compared to Youssef's. So definitely, yeah. So that's something for him to look at. Obviously, keep your strike game up as well. He's actually won. So Youssef's surprisingly won 0 fights by submission. And Diogo Lopez, out of his 23 fights, has actually won half by submission. Crazy. 52% submission stat for him. So pretty interesting. We'll see how this fight goes, but I'm going to go for Youssef by decision on this fight. They actually think he's the underdog. They think Diego Lopez is the favorite for this fight. So whoever is, you know, trying to gamble on this UFC card, gamble responsibly, first of all. But Yusuf might be someone that you might, you know, think of putting money on, because I really think this fight could go his way. But that's the first featherweight bout. Then we go to a woman's bantamweight bout. I know a little bit about Holly Holm, obviously, because she's had that very famous win against Ronda Rousey where she knocked her out. And I think one of Ronda Rousey's comeback fights as well. There was massive, massive hype around it around that time, and she got absolutely knocked the hell out. But we go to this one, Holly Holm versus Kayla Harrison. Kayla Harrison with a pretty good record. It's also her debut, and she has a pretty good record, 16-1. Holly Holm is 15-6. Same height for both of them, reach advantage. Holly Holm has a 3-inch reach advantage, which would be in her favor for sure. If we go to the wins, 0 wins by submission for Holly Holm, so she's definitely someone who goes more into the stand-up fight as well. 53% knockout percentage for her, 47% decision. So she also wins around 47% of her fights in decision, so that's pretty good. Average fight time is crazy, 16 minutes and 42 seconds. Obviously nothing for her because this is her debut. And average knockdown per 15 minutes is not a lot for either of them as well. Significant strike, there's going to be nothing for Kayla Harrison. If we look just at Holly Holm, 3.21 landed per minute, not too bad. 40% significant strikes, 2.79 absorbed per minute, and 56% significant strike defense. So not too bad at all. Takedown defense is something to note from here in terms of her grappling. Odds, there's going to be none because there's no Kayla Harrison hasn't fought before. So just in terms of stats, the record is pretty impressive, I'm not going to lie. Can Kayla fight under, you know, the bright lights at UFC in the octagon when there's massive amount of pressure, and she has a pretty tough first test, even though Holly Holm has been in the game for a while? Obviously, she's not the same Holly Holm in her prime or back, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, but it's still a tough fight, a tough test for Kayla Harrison. With that being said, I am going to go with a Holly Holm win by decision. I think her experience is just going to cut out in this one, but you never know. Kayla Harrison might be one to watch. Definitely, if anyone is a fan of the women's bantamweight bout, this is a new fighter up and coming into the division, so we got to see how she goes and how she rolls. So I'm going Holly Holm decision, but keep an eye on this fight. Could be a upset. Next one, we got Aljamain Sterling back in the featherweight division, in the octagon after losing to Sugar Sean O'Malley. He goes up against Calvin Kattar, someone who also lost his last fight, but he's been in decent form previous to that. 23 wins, 7 losses for Calvin Kattar, 23 wins, 4 losses for Aljamain Sterling. Obviously, he got knocked out against Sugar Sean O'Malley. Great fight that was, too. Pretty disappointing for Aljamain Sterling, but will this be that fight where he bounces back? Aljamain Sterling, as we all know, he's someone who does win on decision. I've seen a couple of the decision fights. The second one against Peter Yan. The first one was I think he got disqualified for an illegal knee from Peter Yan to Aljamain Sterling. So he does win most of his. He doesn't really win a lot of his fights by knockout. So that's not something that you'll really see a lot from him. Calvin Kattar, on the other hand, almost 50% of his wins have been through knockouts. So, and the rest have been decisions. Submissions, not so much. Aljamain Sterling has actually had 30% of his wins be submissions. So something to look at. It's a pretty mixed fight from all sides. Calvin Kattar is not more of a grappler. Aljamain Sterling might look to grapple in this fight. Even though Calvin Kattar's game is more of the stand-up game, he lands 5.12 strikes per minute. 39% significant, even though Aljamain Sterling has more. He also absorbs 7 per minute, so that's crazy. He definitely does have a chin. Depending on the type of strikes that he gets hit by, too, he can withstand that. So he can withstand a bit of momentum from the opponent fighter. He can withstand a couple of hits here and there, but 7.1 is crazy, absorbed per minute. 54% defense for significant strikes, and then 58% for Aljamain Sterling. Go to the odds. Aljamain Sterling is the favorite for this fight. -162 odds on him to win. Odds by decision, pretty even across both boards. So they don't really think anyone's like a favorite like that. So cool. This fight's going to be interesting as well because both have taken losses. It's just depending on how both of them bounce back. Aljamain Sterling is the shorter fighter. So I think this might be something that does go to the ground. if that does go to the ground, I think it does favor Aljamain Sterling. With that being said, I'm going to go with Aljamain Sterling to win this fight. I'm going to go with him to win on decision as well. I think he wins through decision. I think he bounces back from that tough, tough loss against Sugar Sean O'Malley, that knockout. But we're going to go for Aljamain Sterling in three. Cool. Then we got the final fight before, obviously, the main card. Surprised this fight actually didn't go to the main card. There's some of these fights who could have made the main card. I think the Aljamain Sterling fight could have easily been on the main card, even some in the prelims as well. This fight right here could have been in the later prelims instead of the early. This fight definitely, Prochazka's fight definitely could have been in the main card for sure. But we'll get into this one. This is the light heavyweight bout, of course. Prochazka recently losing his title. I think it was to Alex Pereira as well, if I'm not wrong. Let's actually have a look. Yep, it was to Alex Pereira. So he lost his title to him. 216 pounds, 217 pounds for Rakic. He's from Czechia, Austria. Both have had losses in their last two fights. Rakic with a shorter record, so a shorter time in the UFC and just mixed martial arts in general. 14 wins, 3 losses. 29 wins for Prochazka and 4 losses for him and 1 draw. Height advantage. He has a 2-inch reach advantage over Rakic. In terms of the fight styles, he's had an 86% out of his 30 fights, 86% of those wins have been knockouts. So he's definitely someone who's more stand-up as well, looks for those knockouts. Significant strikes, more landed per minute, more just in general as well. 40% defense and 53% defense for Rakic. Grappling, not so much from either. Rakic does have a very impressive takedown defense. Submission average, yep, seems about right. They're actually putting Rakic as the favorite for this fight, and that's where I will disagree, because I think Prochazka gets the win. I think I'm going to go by knockout. So given a lot of the fight's decision, I'm going to go by knockout. We're going to give Prochazka knockout in the second round. Again, three round fight for this one too. We're going to give him a second round knockout. So that's the prelims done. Now we move to the main card, the big fights, you know, the ones that everyone pretty much shows up to see. The first one, we start off with Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. Bo Nickel being the undefeated fighter in this middleweight bout. He is currently 5-0. Goes up against a Cody Brundage, who's 10-5. Both have had wins. 4-inch reach advantage for Bo Nickel. I think I don't even have to go through the rest of the stats. I think we're going to give it pretty clear. Bo Nickel stays undefeated. He wins this fight. I think he wins this fight by rounds. He's going to go a full 3 rounds, so he's going to win by decision. But just look at these stats, man. 2.76 landed per minute, 62%. Significant strikes. His defense is very, very good as well. 60% submission. So out of the five, it's only been 5 fights. So he's won 60% of them through submission, the rest by knockouts. No decision so far, but I think this one is going to go to decision. I think Cody Brundage is a pretty good matchup for him. Not someone who's going to get knocked out too easy, but I think it's going to go decision. It could, if I were to give it a second choice or a second thought, I would say submission for Bo Nickel, but I think it goes to decision. So that's the first one, middleweight bout, Bo Nickel to win by decision. Next up, we have another fighter who I'm very looking forward to looking at, to watching back again, Charles Oliveira. Absolute crazy fighter, a mix of a couple, you know, styles. He's obviously got his jiu-jitsu side to it. He also has his little bit of his ground game. He also has a very good striking game as well. So he's good in all aspects. That's just jiu-jitsu in general too. He goes up against Arman. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I'm not going to lie, but we're just going to call him Arman from Georgia. Last two wins have been fights. Last two fights, I should say, have been wins for both of them. Pretty impressive record for Charles Oliveira. He's been in the fight game for a minute as well. 34 wins, 9 losses, 21 wins and 3 losses for Arman. 1.5-inch reach advantage for Charles Oliveira. Weights, he's up. Armand's weight is up by two pounds as compared to Charles Oliveira. Win fights. So win percentage, I have to say. 62% submission for Charles Oliveira. We've seen a couple of them. I think the Gaethje one was a submission. In between, he fought some other people as well. I think they were all submissions as well. I could be wrong. I think he did fight Dustin Poirier. Let me actually check. Dustin Poirier. Versus Charles. Yep, submission. I was right. So he did fight him, and that was submission. And then we'll also do Justin. Submission as well. So yeah, he's definitely someone who has a lot of fights that go to submission. And that just is you know, attest to his jiu-jitsu game. Like, he's very, very impressive when it comes to jiu-jitsu. But with that being said, I'm going to go for Charles Oliveira to win, because I think he does come back and he comes back well. He's a good overall fighter itself. Obviously, the fight that he lost, who did he lose to? I think it was, what's his name? Islam Makhachev. Yeah, Islam's fight, I think that was canceled. Pretty sure they fought. Yeah, submission. He beat him by submission. So I remember that fight. That was a crazy fight. But yeah, other than him matching up against Islam, who I think is one of the GOATs in the division right now, he would dominate this division, the lightweight division, for sure. Because I think it's a test to his game. And he's got so many different aspects to his game where he can really trouble his opponent. And it's going to be a tough test for Arman. Do I think Arman's a bad fighter? Not at all. He's been on a good streak. I just don't think he's faced anyone like Charles Oliveira, and Charles Oliveira is going to give him a tough time. But Charles Oliveira does not have a chin. That's one thing I will say. When he gets hit, he does normally get knocked down quite a lot as well. We can go through his defense. Let's see here. Only 51% defense in terms of strikes, and grappling, only 55% takedown defense, even though Arman has 75%. So it's going to be a tough, interesting bout to see whether Charles goes more to the ground, even though he has that 75% takedown defense, or whether he's going to keep the fight standing up. But that being said, if you have an Arman to be the favorite for this fight, interestingly, I'm going to go for Charles Oliveira, though, and I'm going to go for Charles Oliveira by submission, definitely. Cool. Next up, we have the fight that I think, bar the main event, is the second fight that I'm looking forward to the most. That is Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway, two absolute dogs. This is going to be a dog fight, and I see why they call it the BMF title fight, just to basically see who is the baddest motherfucker. Also to say, this is no real title. This is just something they've given, like, to add hype to these fights, basically. We obviously seen the first one with Nate Diaz versus Masvidal. I think Masvidal took the win. So yeah, we've seen a lot of fights like that. And this is purely just one of those fights, but I totally get why they chose these two fighters to be part of this BMF title fight, because they're both absolute dogs. These are two guys who could throw hands week in, week out for hours. They won't go down. They probably will go down or get wobbled, but they'll just keep coming back. And attest to both these fighters, man, they're absolutely crazy. This is going to be one of those bloody fights. This fight could end in the first two rounds, or it could go to a full three rounds. I hope it goes to a full three rounds, because I know it's going to be super, super entertaining. But if you go through the record, 26 wins, 4 losses for Justin Gaethje, 25 wins, 7 losses for Max Holloway. Both have been in the UFC game for quite a minute now. Notable fights for Justin Gaethje, obviously, was the one against Khabib, where he did lose. He got choked out, rear naked choke, or triangle choke, I believe. But then he's also fought people like Michael Chandler. If you guys have not checked out Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler, his fight, definitely check that out. Absolute crazy fight right there. And then Max Holloway, we've seen a couple of his crazy fights too. Both are going off of wins recently. So it's going to be, this fight's my second most favorite fight that I'm looking at out of this whole card. Knockout percentages, 80% knockouts for Justin Gaethje, 46% for Max Holloway. Average fight time is 9:46 for Justin Gaethje, 15 minutes for Max Holloway, so he can withstand a long fight. Decision 46%. So a lot of the fights are not really won on decision or submission for Justin Gaethje, purely a striker, purely a on the stand-up fighter. Whereas for Holloway, it's been a little bit of mix. So not so much on the submission side, but more of just like withstanding, because you can see the average fight time is around 15 minutes. More of just withstanding the three rounds and gaining your points. Both have, look at this, 7.3.5, 7.17 for landed per minute for both fighters. So that, like I said, they're both absolute dogs when they fight because they land so many shots per minute. That's crazy. Seven's quite a lot. 60% significant strikes for Gaethje, 47% for Max Holloway, 53% and 59% defense. So not too crazy on the defense for either. Takedown defense is pretty good for both. So they're both pretty good grapplers in terms of defense. Accuracy, Max Holloway does get more. So if they try to go to the ground game, this is going to be also an interesting way to see who gets taken down, even though I think both of them are very good at defense when it comes to grappling. Odds to win, they've given Gaethje to be the favorite for this fight. And I'm not going to lie, I am going to go with Justin Gaethje. He is one of my favorite fighters in the UFC currently. Just entertaining fighter in that sense when I say favorite. And his style is just crazy. He throws like he sometimes turns into a bozo and just starts throwing hands for no reason. But that's just his dog. That's just the dog in him, to be honest. So I will go with Gaethje. I'm going to go with Gaethje for rounds. I think he's going to win by points. I think Max Holloway definitely has a chin, and it is not made of glass. It's tough to knock him out, so I'm going to go for Gaethje by rounds. Gaethje by rounds in that one. And this is they're both ranked number two, so it could be one of those fights where the next one does get a title shot. Title shot to who's the lightweight champion? Islam's title. Yeah, so they could get a title shot. We'll see. Next one, out of the co-main event, two title fights. We have the first one, which is a women's strawweight title bout. Zhang Weili versus Yan. Again, I don't know, like I said, too much about the women's strawweight title bout, but I do remember watching Zhang fight. It was on the Sugar Sean O'Malley versus Aljamain Sterling card. I could be wrong, but it was also another co-main event, and she did decent. I think her last one went to rounds, not even a knockout or anything. Or maybe it could have been a knockout. Let's actually see. Zhang Weili. Was it in 23? No way she fought Lemos. No, it was in 24 for sure. Versus Joanna. Long ago. Trying to see Zhang's last fight. Oh, maybe it was. It was Amanda Lemos. Okay. Yeah, so she won. That was the last fight. Yep, Sterling versus O'Malley. That was the last card. So she won. And she won by unanimous decision. So it wasn't a knockout. So yeah, I was pretty much right. From what I've seen so far, like I said, I don't really know too much about these two fighters and it's just this strawweight division in general. But from what I've seen, she is someone who knows how to play like a fight like a champion, you know, just defend in the octagon. Don't need to expose yourself by looking for crazy knockouts. So with that being said, I think experience will kick in. She is going to get the win. That's what I think. And I think she's going to win by rounds itself. So this is probably going to be a 5-round fight because it's a title fight. So it's going to be Zhang by decision, in my opinion. We'll look through the favorites. No really favorites for either of them. Interesting. They just don't have the odds up yet. Cool. But I'm going to say she's probably the favorite to win this fight anyways. Going through the record, she's fought 7 more and she's won 7 more. Zhang, it's a pretty impressive record for her. Reach advantage is basically the same. 5'4 height for her, 5'5 for Yan. Both are from China as well. Significant strikes in terms of grappling as well is pretty much the same. Takedown average is more for Zhang. So she's actually decent in submission itself. Cool. So we're going to go with Zhang to basically do to retain the title by decision in the co-main event. Last but not least, we have the main event, the main card, Alex Pereira versus Jamahal Hill. This is a fight that I am honestly very looking forward to. I think Jamahal Hill is a dog himself. Alex Pereira obviously proving himself by beating Izzy in the past, also winning the light heavyweight title bout, jumping up weight. Both have a similar reach advantage. Both have a similar height. Both are 6'4". Styles, again, for Alex Pereira, where it kind of goes through the Charles Oliveira. He's very, very good at jiu-jitsu. He can wrestle. He can also look for that killer knockout. Them kicks and knees are crazy from Pereira. And Jamahal Hill is another one who's been in, you know, the news a lot for the UFC lately. He's been on a good winning streak, 12-1 for him. Another fighter who's an absolute dog, 64% wins by knockout, 36% by submission. Oh, sorry, by decision. I'm sorry. Neither of them actually went on submission. I've ever won on submission. And 13% for decision for Pereira. So Pereira loves that knockout. 88% wins for him. Out of his 9 wins, he's had 88% to be knockout. So he loves that knockout. He knocked out Izzy. I think he also knocked out Jiri by the Prajaka guy also. That was also a knockout win. Strikes landed per minute or more for Jamal Hill. 62% for Alex Pereira. Absorb are pretty much the same. Defense is also pretty much the same. Grappling, takedown accuracy is actually 100% for Pereira. So all the attempts he's had done, he's taken them down successfully. Crazy. Takedown defense is pretty much the same for both. They don't really grapple. I mean, you can just tell from here from their stats, they don't really grapple at all. Favorites, though, Pereira is the favorite. He is the champion. Most of the times, I do favor the champion. So he is the favorite to win this fight. I am kind of like in a middle ground when it comes to this. I don't actually know who's going to win. I think Jamal Hill has proven himself enough for him to try to win a fight like this. To win also, just to get a title fight, I think he's proven himself quite a lot. But Alex Pereira is a crazy motherfucker, man. I'm not going to lie. He's absolutely crazy. So we're going to go with... we're going to go with Pereira to win by decision. That's what I'm going to go with. I think it's not going to be a one-sided fight. I think it's going to be close. So we're going to go with Pereira by decision. 5-round fight, obviously, main event as well. In terms of what we have coming up, I think we should have a UFC card after the 300. So let me check. We got 301. No good fights, really. Oh, Jose Aldo's back. I guess no good fights really announced for this for 301, 302, same thing. No main title fights announced. We have Fight Night obviously coming up in June 22nd. Robert Whittaker versus Khamzat Chimaev. Chimaev is one of my favorite fighters. Definitely something to tune in. Our next Fight Night is nothing crazy as well. That's on April 27th in a couple of weeks. The one after that, Derek Lewis is fighting, you know, the famous guy, my balls are hot, pause, no diddy. Edson Barboza is back as well. He's doing his fight night on May 18th, 4 days after my birthday. Crazy. But yeah, other than that, guys, that's pretty much the card. So given our preview, given our predictions on the fight itself, we will be doing the watch along later today, so definitely check that out, guys. If you don't already know the schedule, there is a Twitch schedule, so you can check it out. 3 a.m. UK time will be the watch along, 7 p.m. local time for us, whoever's in the USA. This fight's actually in Vegas. I did not know that. So big card they're doing in Vegas tonight. It's going to be very, very interesting to watch. But yeah, if you guys don't already know, check out the watch along. Review of the card tomorrow on Sunday. Spoobs will probably be here. I will be here myself on the watch along with Scooby. Some other people might join as well. Definitely tune in for that. In terms of what's going on later, there should be the Yardman edition show, the Yardman show on the YouTube channel. In around 30 minutes, that should be starting. There might be a Pro Clubs. Later on today, there's a playback, not today, actually. Tomorrow's the last day for regular season games for the NBA before playoff season starts. So definitely lock in, man. There's loads and loads of content. So much content here over at Sarcasm City TV. So definitely check it out and follow everyone's channels too. I also have my own channel, Sheik TV. It says it right there, Sheik TV on YouTube. So subscribe, man. We're on the road to 300 subs, road to 250 originally, but just overall on the road to 300 subs. So definitely check us out. Check out all forms of content. But yes, that has been the UFC 300 preview for the Alex Pereira versus Jamal Hill main event card. You will catch us later today on the watch along. Up until then, get some rest. Obviously, get all your snacks and all that stuff together for the watch along because it's going to be a long one. But we are going to be here and we're going to watch this card together and it's going to be fire, man. This card's going to be great. But other than that, everybody have a good one. We'll catch you all on the next one. I'll see you guys in a couple of hours and we'll be back here soon enough for the next UFC card too, right after that. But big up. Catch y'all soon, man. Big up for tuning in. Take care.